To help you better understand these destructive and constructive ways of thinking, I'm going to start with the destructive because they're the most common. And the most common of all of these is fantasy. So we'll start with fantasy. A fantasy is a creation process in which we escape into this sacred space of our mind to a time when we are successful. We create vivid visual images or deep emotional feelings or impressions in an attempt to prematurely experience desired future events. When we fantasize, we literally leap forward to our dreams and attempt to live in and beyond them when we get there and then what we can do. We attempt to shortcut or even avoid the steps between where we actually are and when we are finally rich or at peace or free from stress or debt. In short, fantasy occurs when we use the sacred space of our mind to vividly escape the rigors of life, the now. When we fantasize, we build castles in the sky. Now, far too many attempt to move into these castles. We call this the success psychosis. It's understandable. I mean, it feels glorious, even if the feelings are counterfeit versions of the real thing. Though real to the mind, fantasies exist only in our mind. When we spend productive time in these castles, we are losing the time needed to actually create those dreams in tangible reality. Now, Henry David Thoreau wisely counsels, quote, "If we have built castles in the sky, you need not be lost. That is where they should be. Now put foundations underneath them," end quote. Now, most, if not all of us, have fantasized, so please don't be offended with what I'm about to share with you. I just want us to explore what happens when we're in this place. Because while in fantasy, we have enough money to save our friends, our family, and sometimes even the world. We have enough money to get out of debt, to live stress and pain-free, to buy exotic cars, luxury homes, travel, anything we desire. We have safe and idealistic relationships, complete with the commitment and trust and intimacy that we desire. While in fantasy, we can vividly experience the things money can buy, plus counterfeit relief, false freedom, physical satisfaction, and pleasure. These things exist in our mind, created in a nanosecond, bang, instantly, effortlessly, without work and without ever having to leave our easy chair or the need to engage and connect with another human being. While in vivid fantasy, we will experience feelings of euphoria as the hormone and powerful drug norepinephrine released by our sympathetic nervous system. You know, this drug is so powerful that if it were available in prescriptive form, it would be a controlled substance. Well, in addition, and unlike life in the tangible world, we are in total control of people and situations and the outcome. Everyone does what they're supposed to do. Everything turns out the way you want it to. Everything is instant and perfect. This is what we want. No more stress, no more pain, frustration, and fear. And with the time and money to do whatever we want, whenever we want, and we want it instantly. How vividly can you fantasize? If you fantasize about owning exotic cars, what are the makes and models? Colors, special appointments? Do you have an order in which the cars would be purchased? If you fantasize about luxury homes, what is the square footage, location, number of bedrooms, bathrooms, the color scheme, the style of furniture and other decor? What is the size of the garage, number of cars in the garage, and the order in which they're parked? Can you describe the temperature or texture of the tile, the marble or the wood floor on your bare feet? How close to the ocean or a lake is the property? Can you describe the feelings associated with walking the halls and admiring the artwork? Can you hear the birds and the crashing waves and smell the sweet fragrances? If you fantasize about being free from stress, what does it feel like to have your debts paid? Money in the bank, the freedom to fire your boss or quit your job? freedom to travel, or just relax? How does it feel to be bathed with peace of mind? If you fantasize about a better relationship, what does your companion look like, act like, and how do they respond to your needs? Are they a good listener, provider, and lover? How thrilling and fulfilling are the long walks on the beach, the nights entwined by the roaring fire, talking and reading? How about those passionate and intimate moments? And perhaps you have a book or two in your library that helps facilitate this mental journey. In addition to the fantasies listed, one of the most common fantasies is about helping others financially. These dreams can be driven by altruism and a genuine desire to bless others. However, these financial aid dreams are most commonly fantasies driven by a need to feel better about ourselves, assuage feelings of unworthiness regarding wealth, and to please or gain approval from others, such as a skeptical or unsupportive parent, a sibling, or a community. These fantasies can go something like the following. Now, I want you to smile when I go through this. Please don't be offended. It's late. Everyone is asleep. We close our eyes and start reflecting on our parents who plan poorly for their retirement. Oh, we love them dearly, and it is so difficult to see them struggle. We drift into a fantasy. It's Dad's birthday, and we have planned something so extraordinary that we can hardly wait. We have gathered all of our siblings together so that they can equally participate in our generosity. Our older brother wants to pick up the new car at the dealership, and he's always wanted to drive a Lexus, so why not let him? Our older sister insists on contributing, so she purchased and prepared this giant red ribbon and bow. Everyone's giggling as they wrap the shining package. Mom and Dad have never had a new car. Stepping back, standing arm in arm, it is all we can do to hold back our tears of joy. The time has come. Everyone hides in the bushes while our younger sister rings the doorbell and then hides. Mom answers the door. There's no one there, so she exits the house and looks around. Seeing the car, she screams while holding her mouth, "Dad, get out here quickly!" Stunned, she stands in silence waiting. Dad finally exits the house. Confused at first, he slowly and then cautiously walks over to the car, passing Mom, who is still frozen in her tracks. Dad sees and then reaches for the greeting card that's been carefully placed under the windshield wiper. He opens it and begins to read. As he does, tears begin to stream down his cheeks. He turns to Mom, lip quivering. "It's for us, sweetie, it's for us." Mom rushes to Dad, and they give each other a warm embrace while keeping their eyes on the car. It's from our kids. Everyone jumps out of the bushes and yells, "Surprise!" There's hugs and tears and unspeakable joy that carry this touching scene. It is at this moment that we approach Dad and Mom, look them in the eye, and say, "There is one more thing." We pull from our pocket an envelope. What's in it? "This is for you, Dad, for all those years of hard work supporting us, and for you, Mom, for all those years of taking care of us." Dad opens the envelope. Yes, it's the mortgage to their home, and it's clearly marked, "Paid in full." Dad collapses to his knees. We all join him. He puts his arms around us and pulls us tight and hugs us like he has never hugged us before. We finally hear the words we've wanted to hear and waited to hear for years. "I love you. I love you so much. A parent could not have been blessed with a better and more generous child." We open our eyes. Tears are streaming down our cheeks and staining our pillow. The feeling is euphoric. Everything we've longed for. For just a moment, that void in our heart is filled. We peacefully close our eyes and drift off to sleep. The next morning, the euphoric feelings that accompanied our escape and avoid fantasies are quickly replaced by frustration and overwhelm and discouragement and emptiness and even anger as we face a very difficult reality. Driven by a hunger for success, a thirst for happiness, and a peace of mind, punctuated by a desire to be free from this frustration and stress and debt and discouragement associated with such tangible reminders, we may use this powerful gift to again fantasize about being rich so that we can escape and avoid these life challenges. If we do, we commence a very dangerous journey that often and cruelly turns very quickly from euphoria to this ghoulish nightmare. Regardless of why we fantasize, if we choose to fantasize, we will inescapably face at least 7 Herculean tasks. Number 1, we turn our dreams into expectations, concrete conditions for happiness. Now, regardless of our current tangible reality, our current circumstances, we can be transported to another world in our mind and transcend any current pain and stress and frustration. If our systemic thoughts are over-focused, and 97% of the time they are, we do this with such vividness that the same brain chemistry and brain circuitry occurs that would occur if we were actually experiencing the event in tangible reality. This sacred space in our mind cannot distinguish the difference between fantasy and tangible reality. We have experienced it so vividly in our minds, it is real. Our dreams have been converted into what scientists call mental constructs. We have constructed a new reality in the systemic mind, and this sacred space for the mind now believes it is so. Our dreams have been transformed into expectations. Expectations are literally, to the systemic mind, concrete conditions for happiness. Expectations can create a sense of entitlement. And when life shows up differently, we're frustrated or even angry because it's supposed to be different. Nowhere is this more apparent than with our youth. We have indoctrinated them with the New Age millionaire magic doctrine via television, music videos, movies, video games, and our debt-supported lifestyles, which are increasingly difficult to replicate. When I ask young people what they want to be when they grow up, an overwhelming majority respond, rich. It is no wonder that students graduating from college have unrealistic expectations about salaries and promotions. It is no wonder that so many of our youth turn to drugs and alcohol to anesthetize the disappointments of tangible reality. And how frustrating is it when life shows up differently than your expectations? Do you ever feel frustrated, overwhelmed, or even angry? Do you ever become impatient when success seems to take too long or requires too much effort? Does it ever feel like you're losing out, or surrendering, or giving up, or giving in when asked to get real about the comparison between your dreams and your tangible reality? Have you ever been tempted to blame a company, or product, a manager, mentor, customer, a parent, or a companion when life shows up differently than your expectations? Concrete conditions for happiness, one of the Herculean tasks. Number 2, expectations exist only in our mind and cannot be magically or mystically changed into tangible reality. A new coaching client shared an experience that emphasizes the pain associated with overcoming this Herculean task. She shared that every Sunday for several months, she and her husband had driven over to see their dream home, a newly constructed residence that had been vacant for about 6 months. They had taken pictures of the home and put them on the refrigerator. They spent hours fantasizing together and individually about what it would be like to live in the home. They drew landscape plans and decorated the home in their mind. Mentally, they had moved in. It was their castle. In preparation for our coaching sessions, each one of them had taken an assessment, and I discovered that they were both over-focused in their systemic thoughts, like 97% of those actively seeking financial abundance. And they had been using these over-focused systemic thoughts to create expectations, these concrete conditions for happiness. The vivid visualizations did not ignite their passion. The passion needed to drive discipline and focus and effort and action. Instead, the fantasy was creating ever-increasing levels of dissatisfaction and frustration with their current living conditions. I mean, every time tangible reality showed up differently, anger followed. They had heard me speak on this topic and went home determined to face reality and create a different outcome. They decided to let go of the house. They later shared the emotional moment when this decision was made. There was crying and even screaming. It was painful, like someone was cutting the dream out of their heart with a dull knife. When they engaged me as a coach, we explored a few questions. I discovered the house was priced at $850,000. Even more revealing was the discovery that they had less than $5,000 in their savings account and could not qualify for or even service the loan needed to consummate the deal. I suggested that they keep the dream as a worthy target instead of making it a daily destination. It was time to create the steps between where they actually were and the home, because now they knew what they wanted. So I said, now let's go to work to create it. Focus on embracing the business opportunity before you. Decide to engage in life. Connect with your prospects and customers. Create value for them. Contribute to the world. Do this, and the natural outcome will be the means to purchase your dream home. In the end, they discovered they did not have to actually give up anything except an expectation. And the expectation was tainting their life and impeding their ability to create a different outcome in tangible reality. We live in tangible reality. This is a tangible world. The things we dream about usually exist or are experienced in a tangible world. No matter how much we want it to be otherwise, our expectations exist only in our mind, a totally different realm of reality than this tangible world. We will never be able to mystically or magically exchange fantasy dollars for tangible dollars. That is what the alchemists from the Dark Ages tried in vain when they tried to turn coal into gold. Alchemy does not work. However, perturbation does. When coal is put under enough pressure, the carbon atoms are transformed into a diamond. The same is true for each of us. If we stop resisting the pressure and stop trying to escape and avoid the very things that will turn us into a diamond. Have you ever screamed aloud? I can almost taste it. I can almost touch it. It seems so real. Why can't I have it? Now you know that you can have it, but not through escape and avoid fantasies. Number 3. If we want to create our expectations in reality, we will have to do the very things we are attempting to avoid in fantasy. Have you ever been so excited about a business opportunity, a position, an idea, or a relationship, only to crash into this invisible thick brick wall? You know, all the stress and pain and frustration and focus and boring, mundane, repetitious work required to create it? Ever get frustrated when faced with your fears about connecting with others? Do you ever avoid these barriers by spending productive time thinking about what it'll be like when you're rich? While in fantasy, we skip past all of our fears, all of the work required to actually create our dreams. We attempt to prematurely experience the outcome. The mind can become very confused each time tangible reality shows up differently. It thinks we already have it. Why then must we do all this work? Yuck! We call it washing the windows and taking out the trash. I mean, I live in a mansion. Why do I have to do this? Well, here's the dilemma. Mathematically, a systemic thought processes dualistically. It's very unusual. Win, lose, right, wrong, life, death, all, nothing. There is no spectrum or gradation. It is all or it is nothing. polar opposites. When we fantasize with vividness, the brain chemistry and circuitry locks the mind into one end of the spectrum. It is absolute, an expectation, a concrete condition for happiness. There are no compromises, no acquiescing. This is an absolute. We are finally free from stress, pain, work, and free to do what we please. Oh, but when reality challenges this absolute, and it always will, the only options are the polar opposites. Being wrong, worthless, nothing, dead, which translated as frustration, overwhelm, anger, depression. Fantasize about freedom, and you have sentenced yourself to a financial prison. The fourth Herculean task is a very interesting one. All too often, our expectations cannot be created on this planet. This is especially true of the concept of ease. It is my experience that abundant people have mastered the ability to manage higher levels of stress. It was not easy for them. Their decision to seek abundance included an intentional and conscious decision to become abundant. In so doing, they chose to pay their price to become capable of handling ever-increasing levels of stress. The more stress they can handle, the more abundant they become. It is a good thing in many ways that we do not know the full extent of the effort required when we commence this journey. We are not prepared to comprehend it, let alone handle it. If placed on our current shoulders, it would crush many of us, much like lottery winnings crush the winners. In time, we will have enough strength to carry all of it if we are focusing on becoming that person. For now, please understand that if we are seeking abundance, believing that we will live in a world free of stress, we are seeking to create something that does not exist on this planet. We may be suffering from what we call the ease dis-ease. Number 5, the fifth Herculean task. Our body will create potentially dangerous chemical reactions when our expectations are threatened. Now, while in fantasy, the same chemistry and circuitry is occurring in the brain that would occur if we're actually there. To support this experience, the sympathetic nervous system releases the hormone and powerful drug norepinephrine, leaving us feeling euphoric. We have managed to create an expectation, a concrete condition for happiness. Our happiness is contingent on having that which we have created in our mind. This expectation is very real to the systemic mind. It is so real that our body autonomically, that's more than automatically, autonomically attempts to protect the expectation when it's threatened. When we have a proclivity to fantasize, we will unavoidably encounter life showing up differently than expected. Now, each time this happens, the body reacts much like it would if we were being attacked by a grizzly bear. To protect us, the sympathetic nervous system releases a large dose of cortisol, which kicks the norepinephrine off of its cell receptor. Euphoria just went away. Now, the cortisol then connects to its unique receptor on the cell and then communicates at a cellular level a message that leaves us feeling anxious, fearful, overwhelmed, and even angry. Just the opposite of the euphoria. These are not made-up feelings, just made up in our mind. These are driven by chemical release, which is caused by a threat to our expectation. Have you ever experienced that tightening of the gut, that emotional lightning bolt of emotion? Well, to further complicate this moment, the amygdala, the fight and flight center of the brain, releases what's called a fear dendrite, millions of them, fear dendrites, and they go up into your prefrontal cortex, the area that controls our higher levels of consciousness. These dendrites begin to rob the metabolic energy needed to maintain empathy and practical judgment, our people skills and common sense. In many ways, we're emotionally paralyzed as these fear dendrites gather all this energy to centralize it for the war. And we've been prepared for this war, and the enemy's not a mean grizzly bear. It is simply tangible reality showing up differently than our expectations. It just feels like a war. As emotionally painful as this process may seem, it is only a chemical reaction to a threatened expectation. One of our concrete conditions for happiness, something that exists only in our mind, but is so real to the mind, and has been challenged by tangible reality. A simple yet painful experience that can, yes, can be avoided. Ever experienced this roller coaster of emotions? Emotional highs, even euphoric feelings, shortly followed by emotional lows and even emotional paralysis. And then back up again, and then down again, and back up again, and down again, this roller coaster. Have you ever been so excited about an idea and vividly experienced it in your mind only to be in the dumps the next day? Ever been so discouraged that you wanted to stay curled up in bed all day and hide out from the world? To experience awareness in that moment is absolutely a Herculean task. Best to learn how to avoid it than to try to find the strength to overcome it. Are you doing okay? We have two more Herculean tasks. Oh, fantasy is such a deadly process. Here's number 6. Our mind will obsessively attempt to solve these unsolvable challenges. Expectations are no longer a good idea or something that would be nice. They have become concrete, uncompromising, immovable conditions for happiness. Mathematically, we know that systemic thoughts function dualistically. Because of the mathematics, our mind will obsessively try and try and try and try in ad nauseum to resolve this unsolvable riddle of actually creating the unrealistic expectation in tangible reality. Something is missing. Something doesn't fit. Something is wrong, and the systemic mind has to make it right. It has no other mathematical option. If our expectations cannot be created in the tangible world, we have set ourselves up for what Harvey Schoaf, the co-developer of our assessment, calls an unrelenting, unyielding pursuit of the unachievable. Do you ever feel overwhelmed? Are you where you thought you would be at this point in your life? What is the level of your frustration? Is the computer of your mind obsessively trying to get the launch codes for your life, unwilling to find joy in the journey until this task is completed and your success is finally launched? It has no other option. Well, here's number 7, and the final Herculean task. Fantasy is premeditated anger. We can carelessly measure the value of what we have and what we do using these expectations as the measuring rod. Now, reality rarely measures up to fantasy. Our life and everything about it can become a grand disappointment, a burden or a barrier, a thief who steals our hopes and dreams. As a result, we can miss the sweet joy and gratitude and substitute fear and anxiety and stress and frustration and impatience, jealousy, emotional paralysis, and even anger because we have been unable to create these expectations in tangible reality. When we stubbornly cling to these expectations, we will resist what is. It is supposed to be different. Resistance to what is quickly becomes resentment. Resentment is anger waiting in the wings, and anger all too often takes center stage. Fantasy is premeditated anger. How do you feel about your relationships, your children, your cars, your house, your apartment, your furniture, bank account, job, body type, weight, hair or lack thereof, and general health? Do you ever find yourself frustrated because you do not have something better or have more? Does it ever feel like you have to give up, give in, or surrender to accept what is, or to be grateful for what you have? Do you ever find yourself erupting in anger over that which in reality is not that important, at least not retrospectively? We believe that the chronic release of cortisol that occurs every time tangible reality shows up differently than our expectations might in fact be a major contributor to anger. A coaching client once described the home she grew up in as an angry place. She thought anger was the natural response to every life situation that wasn't perfect. I smiled when she quipped, "It was a veritable cortisol factory." Unmet expectations. Concrete conditions for happiness. Breed anger. The opposite, the antithesis of peace of mind. The very thing we desire. Well, in addition to these seven Herculean challenges, fantasy reveals our heart, our true desires, our true intention. Is there any risk that we've been duplicitous, double-minded? Do we say one thing publicly and privately fantasize about another? Do we ever act like we care about others, yet secretly fantasize about a life of leisure, free from nagging people, yet funded by their financial contributions to our life? How congruent are we with the power that governs abundance? Are our expectations in conflict with being an active partner? Again, we want to vigilantly guard the thoughts we create in this sacred space of our mind. The vision created will either ignite passion that will drive our discipline and focus and effort and action in this tangible world, or it will simply drive us crazy.